Hello and welcome to Growing Up B2B. I'm Ed D'Elia, president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. For over 60 years, and now across two generations, we've been helping B2B companies achieve next-level growth through brand distinction, quality lead generation, and sales enablement. Growing Up B2B was created for family business leaders who are passionate about growth, legacy, and making a lasting impact. Whether it's a multi-generational legacy or multiple family members working together, there's something truly magical about blending business with family. And we want to celebrate that right here on Growing Up B2B. So be sure to stick around to the end of the show and find out how you can be our next guest. Okay, let's get into it. Hello and welcome to another episode of Growing Up B2B. I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, second generation president of D'Elia Associates, the place where B2B brands go to grow. And today I'm joined by Brian Knobb, second generation leader of Flooring Foundation, a family-run flooring contractor that continues to set the standard for craftsmanship, trust, and service. Brian's family has deep roots in the flooring industry, beginning with his grandfather, a chemist who helped develop innovative materials for the trade, followed by his father, who built and expanded the contracting side of their business. Now Brian and his brother are preparing to carry that legacy forward as their parents begin transitioning ownership over the next several years. We'll talk about family succession, lesson learned on job sites, and what it takes to sustain excellence across generations in hands-on, high expectations business like the flooring industry. Brian, welcome to Growing Up B2B. Great to have you today.
Yeah, Ed, thanks for having me, man. It's an honor and it's a pleasure, and looking forward to talking with you and having a great time.
Awesome. Awesome. This is amazing. Your family's been in flooring for three generations. Talk about some early memories, Brian. What were some of your earliest memories where you first were oriented to the fact that your family was involved in this flooring industry?
Yeah. It's crazy. For the longest time, I didn't even really know that we were like in the flooring world. I knew my dad did some type of construction stuff. And I remember going to his office whenever I was a kid and like playing with like highlighters and stuff when it was like take your child to work day and just kind of mess around the office. And I didn't really grasp what he was doing really. And I just thought he had an office job, but it was tied to some kind of construction stuff. I didn't really know much. But as time went on, I would really hear it on the phone calls that he would have whenever him and I were in the car together, and I would pick up on the context of what he and whoever he was talking to, what they were talking about, and I was beginning to piece things together. My first real experience on a job site came whenever I was in high school. My dad had my brother and I work with one of his installation teams, and we were doing this big job at Merck Pharmaceuticals. And yeah. My brother and I, after we were probably like junior or sophomore year in high school, after school on a Friday night, we would go with this crew and rip up the old carpet and throw it in the trash and help the installers do their thing so that they could be more efficient. So I would say, like, early on in life, I had no idea. As time went on and I began to like actually go on site a little bit, it put the pieces together. And then obviously as time went on, things just unraveled more and the picture got painted more. So it was definitely a process. But at first, yeah, had no idea.
So your brother, is that a younger brother or older brother?
Younger brother.
Younger yeah, brother, okay.
Yeah, people say he looks older just because he's taller than me and he outweighs me by almost 75 pounds. He's a big dude.
Okay.
He's my younger brother.
So what was it like being when you were young with your brother? Were you guys having fun? Was it all serious? What was the vibe?
No, it was fun. We had a job to do. We were on a commercial job site. We couldn't really goof around too much. And we were working with guys older than us, and we were these two kids. So obviously we had a job to do. As we were going through it, we'd have fun with it, but we had to get the job done too.
Got it. So it's always interesting how just by observation and influence, what that previous generation is doing, it filters into us. You know what I'm saying? Like we see it, we feel it, we experience it, and then it slowly becomes a part of us, whether consciously or subconsciously. It wires into our DNA, and Next thing you and your brother are out working at Merck on
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. It's kind of like a slow, gradual thing that was always in the background.
Before ultimately saying, I'm all in, I'm joining the family business, you worked out west for a while in construction still, but some other areas. What talk about that experience and what made you ultimately decide to come back and officially join Flooring Foundation?
Yeah, so a job brought me out west in the flooring industry. I was out in Seattle for about 4 years. While I was out there, I changed to another job that wasn't really in the flooring world, but it was actually selling waterproofing materials, which was kind of random, but there was
Okay.
some overlap. What I think really made me feel like it was time to come home, because I had loved living out west. I had made a lot of great friends. I was on my own and I enjoyed the independence, but I just saw how things were going for my dad. And at that point, it was just my father and my brother in the industry, in the business. It was only the two of them. And I saw that they were doing well. And I was starting to notice a ceiling with the job that I was at. And I loved that company, by the way. They were great. I just began to see two paths. And like I said, I had been out in Seattle for 4 years at that point. So I felt like I had my drink, if you will. I got what I came for. And then I had probably a couple month conversation with my dad. Like we would just talk about it as time went on. And gradually I just decided, okay, we're gonna do it. Buy a one-way ticket back home and been here ever since. It's been about 5 years now.
Wow. Now, as part of those discussions, was your brother brought into the mix of the conversation, or was it more or less like just really you talking with dad and hey, he's the younger
He,
brother, so he's just gonna
yeah,
deal.
I think I think of course he was considered and his opinion was important, but I think I'm just smiling because I don't remember a specific time where we really sat down with him and talked about it. It was just, I think he was always for the idea.
Okay.
Which is great, but yeah, I think he was considered, but we were all on the same page.
Okay. And it sounds based on where you're headed, it sounds like you and your brother have a really good relationship foundationally.
We do, yeah,
It's really good.
absolutely.
Awesome. Very interesting generational background. You got your grandfather on one hand, he was more almost like a chemist in the
Yeah.
industry. And your father really came at it from more of the contracting side. So you've
Right.
got this blend of science and craftsmanship that somewhat defined your background. Talk for a moment. How is that showing up in the company today?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So I'll be honest, I don't think either myself or Josh, my brother, my dad has it too. I don't think we have that science brain that my grandfather had. I think if it manifests in any way, I would say that we're very product and technical oriented
Okay.
because we want to make sure that anything that we do will hold up over time. To follow the right process and the right standards set out by the manufacturers to uphold any warranties that they have. And it's really to cover our butts and make sure that we can sleep at night. There's that aspect of it. But I would say if it's going to show up in any way, it's really just following all the steps and making sure things are followed the right way to have the right conditions for the floor to perform in the way it was intended to.
So there's definitely craftsmanship involved, but from more of the chemist brain is that process orientation. You've got to follow protocols and steps and be
And
very detail oriented about how you do what you do.
pay attention to all the variables that would affect a job site, like the temperature, the relative humidity, all that stuff, making sure that you have the right vacuum, if you will, for your materials. I would say in some ways, but no one's a chemist. No one's a chemist.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think for our listeners, a lot of people don't fully appreciate the role of flooring in the industry. And typically, when it's like a new build or a renovation, you guys aren't usually in first, you're usually in last.
Yeah.
And if a project is delayed or running behind, it's often a high pressure situation.
Right.
So how do you guys manage the stress level when the stakes are high and there's pressure and there's deadlines and all that stuff?
Yeah, I would say being organized helps a lot with that, making sure that, I mean, It's organization, but it's communication too. Just communicating with the customer as often as possible about what they're expecting and what we're able to accomplish. If there's something that they're requesting that is unreasonable, I will let them know as soon as I can. So to mitigate those emotions, I try not to sit with, get my mind, okay, it may not work, but I'm not going to tell the customer. Like I always just try to make sure we're on the same page. And so that way everyone kind of knows where we're at. So I would say a lot of it is communicating through the whole process and going back to what I was saying about being organized. To your point, this is, I hate to say it, it's almost an industry standard that the flooring goes last, and it's usually whenever the customer wants the project to be done. Like they want us to do our job and to do it quick, and they don't really want to hear any excuses because they've just done a lot of other construction and other trades, and they want us to be done. So
Yes.
it to a degree, it's just baked into the sauce, but we deal with it enough to where there's almost like a protocol of ordering materials, checking stock, using which freight lines to use, having certain crews that we know that will be ready. So it's, to your point, it becomes muscle memory a little bit, but it's
Yeah.
muscle memory, but it's a lot of communication too.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of proactive communication, especially not just with the job itself, but also on the customer side. If they've got a population that's trying to or needs to
Yeah.
access whatever the facility might be, or if there are some deadlines they're trying to meet
Right.
and they
Yeah.
can't get in because there's a flooring project underway, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
sure there's going to be lots to be said. So I could see how proactively communicating to them the status is of paramount importance at the tail end of that project for sure.
Absolutely.
So you and your brother Josh are now in that process where you're preparing to take over in the coming year or maybe two year window, I think. Talk about that. How are you approaching the transition both practically and emotionally?
Yeah, so we talk about it a lot. We talk about it with my father a lot, just about what it all looks like. There's still some formal documents that we have to fill out and really spell out, okay, you do this, have a formal operating agreement. We still have to do our due diligence with all of that. But my brother and I, we've been talking about it more about, hey, do you want to handle this stuff? And do you want to handle that stuff? We've been doing that a little bit. And a few years ago, like on the emotional side of it, a few years ago, I like the idea of my brother and I, Josh, taking over the company just felt very foreign. It felt, oh, wow, that'll be a lot. It'll happen one day, but just didn't seem, it seemed like a very big undertaking. And it still does. But I will say, Ed, as times moved on and as we're getting a little bit closer to that date, it's feeling more real. And with it feeling more real, it feels, in a way, more achievable. It's more, okay, we can do this. We do have a good team. We do a lot of things. We have learned a lot of great things from my dad, and just for the record, he's still going to be around.
Okay.
After transferring of ownership, he'll be more involved in a consultant role. And that right there is a huge variable too.
Sure.
But I would say I talk about it becoming a process a lot, but I think emotionally it's the process of is trending the right way with it working
So,
out.
talk about your current roles. Your brother, are you similar in terms of the disciplines, or are you currently operating in different roles in the company now? So, are you predisposed to do certain things that maybe he's better in other areas, and vice versa? Or talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, there's some overlap, but there are some pretty big differences. My main role is sales and business development, primarily within healthcare and pharmaceutical segments, really to go and find new business. And historically, I would project manage the jobs that I sold, but been trying to delegate that a little bit more. Whereas Josh, he is very operational focus. So he does a
Okay.
lot of project management. He sells some jobs too, but we do a lot of work in the financial sector. We do a lot of retail banks and wealth management offices. So he has a lot of connections there where he'll get new business from folks that he knows there, but he'll also manage all of that business too. So that's the main difference, I would say.
Okay. So it sounds like in many ways similar, but right now it sounds like you're focused on maybe different vertical sectors
Sure.
somewhat. And one can understand why when you hear about what they are, because probably slightly different need set and different levels of concern, where one is maybe more functional, the other one might be a little bit leaning more aesthetic in terms of they both have to perform well, but maybe different priorities and different nuances that you and your brother have that particular expertise. Interesting. And how was your dad's sales skills? Was he a salesman? Did he have good salesmanship skills too? Does
Yeah,
he?
he's a natural. He's
Okay.
a silver bullet.
Okay. Thinking about your dad, what's one really strong lesson that you learned maybe very young in life or maybe not so young in life that really still guides the way that you approach business today?
Yeah, I would say my father, what he did great, as well as my mom, we all have faith and really put a lot of emphasis on putting God first in everything that we do. And I think that translates in many ways, but I think one way that it translates is trying to do the right thing, being honest with people and transparent, forthcoming where it makes sense. I would say just doing things with integrity. It sticks out and it tends to draw people to you. So it's not only a good thing practically, but it also is rewarding. So it's cool how it's God gave us that as like a rule because it's not only the right thing to do, but it also translates to business well. So I would say that was an area that he really inspired Josh and I, not just from a business sense, but foundationally.
Just having a strong faith
Yeah.
really helped to pave the way for a lot of things and a lot of good things that have come your way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. Flooring industry, very competitive, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oftentimes price sensitive, right?
Yep.
And while integrity is a great attribute and it shows up probably once you're in progress with a new client, and they
Right.
see that sometimes hard to show that at the point of decision making. How do you differentiate flooring foundation from the field of competition and ultimately put yourself in a position to win the types of engagements that you want?
So to your point, some people are just bottom dollar driven, and that's okay.
Yeah.
We're not trying to change the industry. There's been times where we've been able to get down and dirty, but the feedback that we've gotten is that we're market value. We're kind of around the middle. If you're going to get six quotes, we're usually around the middle. And we have that understanding. And a lot of it is we're not for everyone. Not everyone's for us. And that's okay. We want to work with the people that value us beyond just the final number. The final number needs to make sense, and we can't be blowing up budgets. People need to make money. We can't be too expensive. We can't price ourselves out. But I would say that a lot of it is we just don't go out and bid jobs hoping that we're the lowest and that we get it. We approach jobs with the idea that we need to be competitive, but we try to position ourselves to where the price is not the only variable that the customer is going to use to select who they want to work with. So we'll do that with whether it's a pre-existing or a new person, we'll try to develop rapport with them, try to develop a relationship. And it's different for each person, but we try to find ways to be relevant beyond just the number.
Understood.
So,
So, is your clientele then, are you often working with the end user or owner of facility or property owner versus the general contractor? Or do you work with both?
we work with both. I would say we have some great general contractor partnerships that we have that we work with. We love them. We'll jump on stuff for them. But as far as growing our business, we just tend to be a little selective on who we want to work with. And like I said, it comes down to that partnership. But ideally, how we really want to grow is that other channel that you mentioned, which is direct to the end user. At that point, it's negotiated, like the cost of it. You're more in the driver's seat with just how things go. There's not a bunch of other trades in your way. It's just they're doing the flooring. And if they're doing something else, like we can just talk about it. And it's a far better niche. That's been more of my focus.
So the construction industry, it's got at least a perception of being a tough world to work in, irrespective of whether it be flooring or other aspects of the greater industry. Let's talk about some hard lessons. What's a hard lesson that one you had to learn the hard way about either managing people, managing projects, or something else?
There are several, as you can imagine.
Don't worry, me too.
I would say the first thing that I really picked up on as a contractor is just how much you own. And what I mean by that is you just own the whole job. Because before I just sold, like I was in like a carpet salesperson, I just sold the carpet. So like after you sold the material, it was you still owned it to a degree, but the responsibility went down a little bit. Whereas being in the contractor seat, you own the material, the labor, the logistics. Like I said, the job site conditions to a degree, you have to, if things aren't right, you have to let people know. So I would say one, it would be earn or the, just how much you have to own. As a general, as a contractor, how much is under your umbrella? And another thing too is, I have a personality type that's pretty easygoing and pretty chill. I did well in Seattle, and for those reasons. And there are just times in the construction world where it's you're in the trenches and you really have to stick up for yourself. Otherwise, people will walk over you. And I've had that happen. I'm naturally a very nice guy, and that's proved to be, I don't want to say a weakness, but that's proven to be an area where I've needed to grow in a little bit, where it's no, listen, we're going to do it this way, and you can't talk to me like that. And developing that muscle of where the boundary is. There's definitely times where you need thick skin. Which I've had to develop, but what I'm developing more now is finding the voice of drawing the line in the sand and being like, okay, we're not going beyond that.
Got it, got it. And that is a learned skill for sure. And there's nothing wrong with being a kind persona. You could still be kind and strong, and that's okay. So we talked a little bit about the dynamic with you and your brother in terms of how you approach the business now and how you're working through the dividing and conquering in the years ahead. This comes up a lot, Brian. I just want your take. So in the offices, is Josh your business partner or is he your brother? And when you're at a family gathering, do you draw the lines between, hey, we're on family time or we're on the clock, we're on business time, or is it more fluid with the two of you, or does that not even really come up in your relationship per se?
It's very fluid because we'll be both at work or at home, either talking about work or business. It's like changing the channel on the TV, honestly. It's very, for us, it's clear whenever we want to talk about business. Okay, we'll talk about it. But then if we're talking about business on like Easter Sunday for a little bit, they'll come this point where it's like, all right, it's Easter and we're talking about this. There's other things going on here. And it's almost like we collectively know. All right, we exhausted all we want to talk about here. Let's shift gears. And it's not like anytime we get together, we just talk about business right away. I just say that to say, I think we all have that intuition to know when it's time to change the channel.
Okay. I like that analogy, changing the channel. That certainly resonates.
Sometimes it feels that quick,
And
honestly.
sometimes it feels like the remote's broken. Come on, we want to let's get off this channel.
Honestly, please change the
Another dynamic, your mother, while to a lighter capacity, also has some involvement in Flooring Foundation in the business.
channel.
Talk about that presence. How has that kind of shaped the family dynamic? So it's your dad, it's you, it's your brother, and to a lesser extent, your mother is all involved in Flooring Foundation.
So yeah, for my mother, it's more of a recent thing. She was a first grade teacher pretty much all her career, and she retired this past summer. So she's, whenever we do our leadership meetings, she'll come and she'll provide a little bit of insight, just, and it'll be more in like personnel and cultural stuff. But as far as the day-to-day flooring business, nah, she's not in the trenches. Let's just say that. But she has a very positive influence. Our office is right by my parents' house, and my mom will sometimes drop off like snacks and like goodies for the office. If she's watching my daughter, Lily, who's almost a year old, she'll like bring Lily in and kind of stuff like that. To your point, very light. But whenever it comes time to have our leadership meetings, she'll be there and she'll offer some insight when it comes to like cultural and organizational stuff.
Excellent. I think you answered my next question. Was really in a very demanding type of realm in flooring and construction. Things that you do to keep that morale high amongst the team and to keep the
Yeah.
culture among the team strong. Sounds like your mom is definitely influencing that. What are some other things you're doing as an organization to influence a strong culture, Brian?
Yeah. That's very important for us. I would say we want people to feel valued and that they're having an impact and that what they're doing means something and that their hard work will be rewarded. We expect folks to do their thing, give it their all, but we also have that grace at the same time too. We've gotten a lot of good feedback from our employees, especially from some folks who came from other companies that they said were toxic, and they came over and they said they just really love how things are happening at Flooring Foundation. That's a very deep thing for me, just making sure everyone is good. And if we see something is off, we will want to ask people about it. We don't want things to fester or to grow. And I saw somewhere, I forget where, but the importance of praising someone in front of other people, especially like during meetings. But if there's like a rebuke or something that you want to work on that with that person, you don't do it in front of everyone, you do it separately. Things like that. Just being very mindful of the atmosphere because we want to really invest in our people. And we've hired some really smart people. And we want to be at the point where Steve Jobs has this quote that I love that I feel like it applies. It's, we don't hire smart people so that we can tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. So just bringing in people in that we can learn from, but also grow this thing together.
So much of that was spoken like a true second generation leader, because oftentimes the first generation is very much a top-down authoritative leader.
Yeah.
Say what they want to say, when they want to say it, how they want to say it, without a lot of regard. Whereas I think those of us that are next gen realize that doesn't really fly anymore.
Yeah, and to your point, like my dad needed the personality that he needed to start Flooring Foundation, very like head down and very much a doer and a trailblazer. And yeah, you need those different personality types.
Absolutely. So, speaking of change, and certainly changes in the air at Flooring Foundation with this transition that's coming, change is also around us in the, and certainly in the flooring space, technology,
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
not just in the quality and the nature of the products themselves, where you've probably seen a number of technological advancements, but also other things like the onset of AI, digital estimating, project visualization, and other tools like that. Can you comment on that for a moment? Brian, how are you, and maybe to understand your brother, utilizing or embracing the new tools and technologies of the industry?
I would say my brother and I, we're using the most updated estimating software that's out there. There's this really good program that we've been using, and it integrates AI for estimating. We haven't really leaned on the AI component as much. As far as our company, I would say we have our admin folks are relying on AI a lot more than my brother and I, and a lot of it is for lead generation and other things that they could probably expand on that I couldn't. I'll be honest, it's something that I haven't fully wrapped my arms around, and I'm realizing that I should probably do that more, to be honest. There's other people in our company that have embraced it. To be honest, I'm just talking for me. I can't speak to Josh. I would say I'm probably on the lower end of folks who have embraced all of that, just being transparent. But I know that people within Flooring Foundation have been using it, and it's been making their lives easier.
That's awesome. Needless to say, a lot of this business, and for many of our guests who run family-governed organizations, a lot of the opportunities, certainly in the trades, come from word of mouth. You've done a
Right.
great project. People speak well of you. Other people hear about it and they call you. But when it comes to beyond that, when you're looking to reach beyond reputation alone, and in order to grow an or any organization, you have to, how do you think about the Flooring Foundation brand or about marketing? What are your thoughts and attitudes relative to that in terms of how you would, as you're starting to take over, want to see the brand portrayed, or how you look at growth in terms of leveraging marketing to drive that growth beyond reputation alone?
No, that's a great question, because I haven't really done a deep dive on that from a marketing standpoint on what would be the best way of doing that. So I would probably seek further information on that, Ed,
Okay.
I'll be honest, because that's how a lot of the industry gets business. But I don't think it stops there. But as far as how we would do that and what that looks like, we don't know really yet.
Okay.
And I think we have yet to really sit down and put a plan together. And part of that is because we haven't really felt the strong need to, but that doesn't mean that we wouldn't benefit from it.
Yeah. And as an aside, I know a firm that might be able to talk
I'm sure.
to you. You made a point earlier that your daughter, 1 year old, actually was
Yeah.
in the building. So that would be essentially, depending on who you count it, Gen 3 or Gen 4, depending
Think
on how
it's,
you
yeah, Jen. I guess for
count your
Flooring Foundation,
grandfather.
if you count, if yeah, if you count Edgar Knob, she'd be fourth gen.
Fourth gen, yeah. When you think about the future of Flooring Foundation, and maybe it's a little too soon, her being 1 year old, but what kind of legacy would you want to build for that next generation if there was an opportunity for that next generation to step in and take the baton for the next leg of the race?
I would want to stay true to the principles that we started the company with, which in a lot of it is faith, having God kind of direct us and guide us. I would say I would want the culture to be extremely healthy, to have the right people in the house. And I would want to probably have a very similar business model to what we have now, where it's been a lot of organic growth with the right customers and not having to be a race to the bottom and understanding our value that we can bring. But I would want to amplify that, and how that looks, time will tell.
It's a little bit of a, I'll say, a slightly premature question in that,
It's a good thing to think about, though,
but it's
absolutely.
something to think about in that come 2027 or whenever the switch is flipped, where it's okay. It's me and Josh now. It's our ship. Probably a lot of things will come to light in terms of what you want to build and how you, to what extent, want to carry forward the legacy that is
Right.
important to you, but then also acknowledge that this is a changing world and Flooring Foundation must endeavor to reach that next generation of customers. Just like it's bringing up the next generation of leadership, that the face of customers is changing too, as the face of leadership is changing at Flooring Foundation. So I'm
Right.
sure as that process happens, you'll start to see things and say, okay, this is where we're going to go. However, we're going to carry forward all of the virtues and values of our legacy because they've served us well so far. And that seems to
Absolutely.
make a lot of sense. I love asking this question. I ask it to most of my guests. If a younger person was at that crossroads, right, as you were, saying,
Yeah.
do I stay out west and continue on this journey, or do I endeavor to join the family business? What would be a piece of advice that you might give them in terms of how they should make that decision?
I'm being honest, I think a lot of it depends on the family and the family business. I think if it's a healthy place and a place where there's a lot of growth, I would tell that person, yo, you can make so much more money, and working with people you love, going back home, it's really what you got away. What's keeping you on one path versus the other? But if you're going to consider going home, I would make sure that you have that right relationship with your family. And I only say that because I hear a lot of horror stories, and it's not, I don't think it's for every family. So I would say, as long as the foundation is good, as long as you have the right relationships with your family, I would say it's probably going to be better than what else you're doing. It's a higher ceiling. There's a higher growth potential.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And as the saying goes, we can choose our friends. We don't always get to choose our family. So
Yeah, exactly.
if the
Yeah, and there's
relationships are strong, conceivably, they should be strong both from a family dynamic and a business dynamic, typically. Not always, but typically.
Yeah, you gotta be honest with yourself.
Yeah,
That's what I
for
would say.
sure. For sure. Last question, Brian.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners wanted to learn more about you or more about Flooring Foundation, what's the best way for them to connect?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn under Brian Knob, and you'll see my face come up with Brian Knob with Flooring Foundation. We also have a good website, flooringfoundation.com, where you'll have pretty much anything that you would need, and my contact info is on there as well. If it's not, then I'll make sure it is. But yeah, I would say one of those two ways are a good way to do it.
Awesome. Awesome. Brian, thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing such an open, thoughtful look at your journey and your family's legacy in the flooring industry. Your story is certainly a reminder of the success in family that's not just built on skill, but on communication, trust, in this case, a very strong faith and willingness to evolve across generations. Again, we've been speaking with Brian Knob of Flooring Foundation, and I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and this is Growing Up B2B. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Brian, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Much appreciated, brother.
All right, take care.
See you, man.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into Growing Up B2B. To explore more episodes and insights, visit podcast.deleonet.com. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice. Having worked with hundreds of family-led businesses across my career, and being a second-generation leader myself, I'm on a mission to help every family business I meet achieve next-level growth for their organization. So feel free also to connect with me on LinkedIn and let's support each other. You can also find out more about my company at deleonet.com. Again, I'm your host, Ed D'Elia, and thanks so much for joining us today. Take care.